Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
3 o'clock hour here on Hochman and Crowder. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. Love our friends at Florida Lumber. Bringing you the whole show, baby. Nothing. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, he tweets out, for whatever it's worth, former Dolphins quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick does plan on playing in 2021, and he should have a solid free agent market for his role. There's been some public debate about his future, but he does intend to play this year. Yeah, I don't think that dude will stop playing until they tell him to stop playing.
Nobody wants you anymore. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think he will continue to play and move around, and I think he enjoys it. I mean, we watched him with the Dolphins. He enjoyed it. Like, we watched Jay Cutler that one season. He didn't look like he was enjoying it.
Miserable.
You know? He was miserable.
Day in and day out, miserable.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like he was enjoying it, whether he was backing up or coming in or starting. Like, he was just out there having a ball. So I don't think he's going to stop doing it until they say, there's no one that wants you.
And you know what? Doing the fifth quarter show, going down after the game from the press box and standing in the tunnel waiting for the team to pass by and really seeing the guys post-game, win, lose, or draw, he would go down, his kids would be down there, he'd pull his sons, you know, and daughters over the railing, they'd go in the locker room like, this is a family affair of him continuing to play football at 38. It's not his motivation to play. The money's always great. I don't think he's worried about the money. I think this is just, like you said, it's fun for him. So I'm with you, and with all this praise I'm giving to Fitzy and the explanation of why I believe he's going to come back, I don't want him to be a Miami Dolphin next season.
I do. But we can ask Adam Beasley in the next segment. I do. No, I like him. No, I understand. I think most Dolphin fans agree with you. Let's do headlines here because Adam Beasley is going to join us. Headlines with our own Alejandro Solana.
The Florida Panthers will start there. They lost 4-2 to Carolina yesterday. They did win on Saturday, though, so they split their weekend games. They'll be back on the ice tomorrow versus the Blue Jackets in Columbus, a 7 p.m. puck drop.
All right, very good. You'll hear that game tomorrow on 560 The Joe.
Right now, the Miami Marlins, they lead the St. Louis Cardinals 5-3. They'll be back on the diamond spring training Wednesday. They play the Astros Wednesday.
Okay.
Just give me a couple seconds here because our 305 alarm is set to go off.
All right. There it is.
It's a 305.
Dale.
God bless. Dale.
You know, 305 day was Friday, Crowder, so we renamed Solana Alejandro Solana.
I got to listen to maybe an hour of the show when I was riding south. Yeah, it did a great job. I actually
Alejandro.
I caught Laz when Laz was on, which was a great interview. Yeah.
Love Cutler Ridge, Laz. Yeah, that was a treat on Friday. What was that?
My phone cranked up and did something.
Sounded like you were listening to baseball.
You know,
it did. It sounded like a baseball highlight.
Actually, what it was there was a girl named Maya Brady from UCLA, and Tom Brady said Maya Brady, the most dominant athlete in the Brady family. But I think Maya is a black lady. I don't think she's in Tom Brady's family, but I think he was trying to be funny, which he isn't funny, and that's what you heard.
All right. Fair enough.
So you were watching a video.
Well, I try to, you know, you open your phone, but it's already on, and then you hit one of them videos on Twitter. That's what happened.
But it wasn't the baseball game.
No, no, no. Okay. It's spring training, isn't it? Like, I'm not watching that.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Okay. Well, the Marlins, they lead St. Louis right now. I think the score is 5-3. 5-3, that's okay. The score. That's not what Crowder was listening to.
All right.
Canes Hoops, they play in the first round of the ACC tournament tomorrow at 2 p.m. start time versus Pitt.
So that game tomorrow, ACC tournament, that's on 560 The Joe, which means our show is only on 790 The Ticket tomorrow. And you want to hear Miami Hurricanes basketball tomorrow, 560 The Joe. Pregame starts at 1:30. Game tips off at 2. Miami Hurricanes basketball games on 560 The Joe are sponsored by Milam's Markets, Miami's family grocer since 1984, providing quality, variety, and service second to none.
Yesterday was NBA All-Star Sunday. Team LeBron beat Team Durant 170-50. It was capped off by a Damian Lillard three-pointer from basically half court to seal the 24 points needed in the fourth quarter.
Those guys, Steph and Dame, I mean, just ridiculous, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I said I enjoyed the second half. I don't think I enjoyed the second half. I think I just enjoyed Steph and Dame being in the same court together.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
At the end of the first half, they exchanged half-court shots. It was like, give me the ball, give me the ball. They just pulled up from half-court. That was fun. I enjoyed
There's
that.
There's nowhere that they can't pull up from. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
And who said Dame needs to leave, like, Dame needs to leave Portland to become what he really needs to be? Like, it was some, you know, famous, maybe Shaq or Chuck or one of them. I think it's true now, man, because Dame should have way more popularity than he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will tell you, though, like, my son, who's 16, that's his favorite player in the NBA. So, and he loves his rap music. Like, maybe he's more popular than we know with younger people. But if he was doing what he's doing in Portland, on a winning team, by the way,
in
New York or Chicago, Los Angeles, it would be completely different, I think.
I would say, I don't know if DJ should be the thermometer on this, Hawk, because he really knows sports. Your son's been around sports his whole life. Just a random kid in the middle of, Minnesota somewhere.
No, I understand what you're saying. No, I get what you're saying. But I know, I know young people that watch the NBA, they love Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not in the Steph LeBron KD conversation, and he probably should be. That's Crowder's point. He probably should be.
He should be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But he wants to be in Portland. Like he says, he's not going to go ring chase. He's going to win with the team he has. Like that's his own doing. He doesn't want to leave Portland.
Good.
And
good for him. Yeah.
But is it good for him, Hawk?
It depends what's important to him. If worldwide fame is important to him, then maybe not. But, I mean, he makes plenty of money, and he certainly is famous. So, I think it's fine. I think there's something noble about it.
Noble and respect. But for his longevity, his legacy of his career, if he never wins MVP.
It depends if that's important to him, though. It just depends on what's important to him.
Doesn't everybody care about their legacy as an athlete, though?
Yeah, but what is legacy? Doing the best that you could possibly do at the place that you want to do it? Or, doing it on a bigger stage because other people think that that's important? Like, if it's not important to you,
Like, now when we talk about basketball and we're sitting around at Twin Peaks arguing where we still have to bring up Kareem and we have to bring up Magic and we have to bring up, you bring up the Iceman, you bring up, some of those guys from back in the day where they put, like, in your mind, they're still there as basketball greats. When my son or when DJ in 30 years is sitting around talking to his friends about basketball, is he going to bring up Dame when he brings up KD, LeBron, and those guys, Giannis?
It'll be easier if he wins a title in Portland. But, that happens no matter where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State Warriors were not a marquee team. They weren't. I mean, they weren't the Lakers. And I would submit to you the Clippers were more popular in California just because they were based in Los Angeles. Like, Golden State, until it was the Steph and Clay show, was kind of kind of forgotten, just like Sacramento is.
Steph and Clay put Golden State, right, you know, San Francisco area on the map. Dame, it's Dame's job to put Portland on the NBA map.
Yep.
Respect. I respect it. It's difficult, though. It's very difficult.
They've had a good team, though. Yeah. They have had a good team.
I'm with you, Crowder, man. This Damian Lillard doesn't have the guts. If he had the guts, he'd be winning rings in Miami. Let's be honest. Come on. Doesn't have the guts.
I love the way your mind works, Solana.
Speaking of gutless NBA players, Blake Griffin, he agreed to a deal with the Brooklyn Nets.
We're not talking about him in a barbershop in 30 years. I'll tell you that much.
You might be on guys that just never panned out to what you thought that they were going to be.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so him, right? Michael Beasley, Greg Oden. Yeah, you're right. He'll be in a conversation.
But, I mean, Blake Griffin, I'm telling you, for those two seasons or so, he was the most exciting player in the NBA. Like, you thought, hey, put some guys around this dude, you're going to want to watch him for the next 10 years. And it just never panned out.
Stupid athlete is what I remember him as, but not a great ball player.
He was the face of Kia in the NBA.
I'm not certain that that's a huge, like, what? So what? I mean, the face of Kia is not exactly being the face of Maybach. Like, I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if that, like, yeah.
But Kia was, for quite some time, the largest advertiser in the NBA. They were the official car of the NBA. Like, Blake Griffin brought out a Kia at the NBA All-Star game.
I remember it. Yeah. He jumped over the Kia. It was fun. I'm just saying, though, it's not like, you know, when you talk about supermodels, you go, that was the face of Revlon. Or you go, you know, she was on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Like, that comes with a lot of cachet. When you go, that guy was the face of Kia. Like, all right.
The Optima's a nice car. I'm not sure why you're hating on Kia.
I have no hate for the Kia. I'm just saying that I've never heard anyone, like, get trumpeted over being the face of Kia.
Solana, you think Blake drives a Kia?
Probably not. Not anymore, no.
Probably, huh? Mm-mm. Nah, Jack. Nope.
The Miami Heat, they're back on the court Thursday. They host Orlando.
All right.
Finally, guys, I'm very excited about this. General Mills, they're launching a new spinoff of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's called Dulce de Leche Toast Crunch.
Oh, I love Dulce de Leche.
Whoa. That's
but that's like a dessert, though. I don't know if I would have that for breakfast.
But cinnamon butter and all that, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, isn't healthy. You know, it's more dessert-y.
True, but
as well.
Toast. Cinnamon toast is, you know, cinnamon raisin toast. Not that raisins belong in toast, but, you know, cinnamon raisin toast. Like, it's perceived as a breakfast item, and I don't know why we do this, right? Donuts are perceived as a breakfast item. Don't know why. It doesn't make any sense, but there's no shame in eating a donut for breakfast. There's a huge amount of shame in eating a cupcake for breakfast, right? It's weird, but it is the truth. Totally forgot what
Dulce de leche.
So, like I was saying, I think grown-ups is pretty funny. Grandpa's just talking again.
Is anybody in there? No, he's just talking to himself. Okay.
So, yeah, Blake Griffin was the face of Dulce de Leche. I remember back in my day. All right, anything else, Solana?
Yeah, your weather update from the Exergen Weather Center right now in South Florida, partly cloudy. About 75, 73 degrees right now in
Miami.
There's
raisins in the toast. There's what? There's raisins in the toast? What?
That's your weather.
Hey, Hawk, that's Solana. His name's Alejandro Solana. He's our producer.
The who? Who?
I'm your co-host. My name's after yours.
Trust
okay?
me, we're not too far from this during the commercial breaks. What am I doing again? All right, I'm Crowder. Crowder! This is Solana. Solana! Just get me through one segment.
What you got?
That's how I used to feel when I would watch Joe Biden go up there for a debate. I go, please, just let him get through this one debate. Can we just get him through the one debate? Right. Anything else, Solana?
No, no, this is now it's your turn. Your turn, Hawk.
Mine? My turn? The what? All right. Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He's going to join us next here on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
We're going to kick you in the teeth, and when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
Hawk and Crowder.
Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. I do want to talk some free agency and NFL calendar with you, but we did mention at the top of this hour that Ian Rappaport tweeted out, for whatever it's worth, former Dolphins quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick does plan on playing in 2021, and he should have a solid free agent market for his role. There's been some public debate about his future, but he does intend to play this year. Crowder was saying he doesn't want to see him back with the Dolphins, and I don't think he obviously is part of their plans. I wouldn't mind seeing him back because I like having a capable backup, but I was also saying I think that guy will play as long as he's able to play. As long as a team signs him, he'll play because he enjoys it. Is there zero chance he's back with the Dolphins?
Oh, zero. That's bold. No, the number's not zero, but it might be like 1%. I mean, crazy things do happen. He wants to play. He's not going to play here. The Dolphins, assuming they can't get Deshaun Watson, want to support Tua however way they, you know, in any way they can. And bringing in the guy who is the 2009 team MVP, the 2020 Good Guy Award winner, and the dude that Tua got benched for twice in his last five starts or something, is not a good way to build that confidence. So, no, my guess is Fitz finds a market for a team that can't find a quarterback. Maybe they draft a guy at a situation like they had here in Tua, with Tua, that isn't quite ready to play yet, and, you know, he's the placeholder again. But what's crazy is this. I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, you look at the QBR, and that's not the end-all, be-all, but he was, like, top 12, top 13 in QBR last year, and he made some incredible throws. Yes, there's huge variance in his performance. Sometimes he's dreadful, and sometimes he's incredible. But I think in Miami, he was kind of better than that. He was kind of better than that Fitz tragic role. I mean, he had some stinkers, but it seems like he kept saying, "I'm playing the best football of my career," and we all laughed because he was 38 and he looked like he ate all his kids' birthday cake. But he still played pretty well. So, Ben Volen up in at the Boston Globe keeps pushing him to come to the Patriots, and I kind of chuckle. And then I think about it. It was like, well, he's definitely better than Cam Newton. There's no question about that. And if the Patriots draft a guy to develop, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a pretty good mentor. The problem is he might be too good of a mentor because he's hard to get off the field.
Yeah, Bees, and this is why I can't be a GM, because like Hawk just said, we were talking about it earlier, I don't want Fitzy here because the coaching staff is too comfortable putting him in over Tua, and we have to find out what Tua has. But I don't know who's going to back up Tua if Fitzy's not here. Who is that guy going to be? Are they going to bring a young guy in to back up a young Tua? Will it be a veteran, older guy that's not Fitzy? How do you see that quarterback room this year looking?
Yeah, it's probably the latter. I mean, I know it was like Brian Hoyer, I think, is a name that I heard mentioned. Look, I would even kick the tires on Mitch Trubisky because you can probably get him for $6 or $7 million next year. And he has proven that while he's not an NFL starter, he deserves to be in the league. He's not terrible. I mean, there's certainly worse quarterbacks than him. And maybe the situation would be better for him than elsewhere. So I think what you need to do is this. This is year three of this experiment, the Brian Flores, Chris Greer experiment. And 5-11, 10-6, they've been building. They've overachieved in each of the first 2 years. But grading on the curve is over. I mean, they've got to make the playoffs this year. They have to take a real step forward and become one of these top-tier teams, because that's what the whole blueprint was. They talked about in 2019 when they fired Gase, building something sustainable and building through the draft and getting to a point where they compete every year. Well, the record suggests they're close to that, and they can't take a step back this year. So if Tua is not healthy or if Tua is not performing, they need somebody who can step in and help them win football games. So I wouldn't worry so much about Tua's ego at this point, because – let's be honest, he already knows they're not 100% wed to him. I mean, he went on that whole Radio Row media tour, essentially telling everyone who would listen, yeah, I don't know what my future is in Miami. I'm pretty sure I'll be the starter, but I can't say for sure. So he already knows that they kind of have a little bit of a wandering eye when it comes to the quarterback position. But if you're Brian Flores and you're Chris Greer, you can't put every single one of your chips you have in that basket if you're not sure about the quarterback, because you're sort of gambling your career on him.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald, he has just declared Brian Flores on the hot seat for this coming season. Put that up in the headline, Solano.
Damn media always twisting your words.
What is the calendar right now? Next week is free agency. Like, what are we? I know the draft begins April 29th, but what are we looking for from now, March 8th through April 29th? What are the key dates?
Well, I mean, in theory, tomorrow should be the deadline to apply the franchise and transition tags, because it'd be a week out from the start of free agency. But the problem with that, guys, is we don't have a salary cap yet. We don't have a firm number of what the cap will be. And whatever the cap is determines what each position will be paid under those tags. Like quarterback, if the tag's 100, this is just me, you know, saying off the top of my head, if the salary cap is $185 million, then the franchise a quarterback is like $35 million, whatever those numbers are. But they're based on whatever the cap is. So that's kind of had some people wondering, well, what's going on here? There's still some uncertainty about what all this is going to be. I haven't heard anyone say, no, we're going to push back free agency, because I think that would be silly. I think they're going to have that number relatively soon. But so long as there's not some, you know, big wild card that comes up and they're able to proceed, Monday it would be the start of the legally tampering period, and that means agents can legally talk to teams about signing somewhere other than where they are currently. Because if you do it now, it would be tampering, even though every single team and every single agent has already long felt out what the market will be and talked to teams about their interest. They can legally do it on Monday, so that's when you hear when some of these contract figures start leaking out. Wednesday at 4 o'clock is the first time any of these guys can put pen to paper. That's also when teams have to be under the salary cap, whatever that number is, and then you're off to the races. So, very soon you're going to hear a lot of big news from the Miami Dolphins, and I think the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to continue to shed salary cap space, create salary cap space, shed salary, so they can be more of a player than they are right now. Even after cutting Van Noy, they don't have a ton of space. They're in the top 10 of the league. But the top five is head and shoulders much more than they are. Like, the Jets have tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars more available than the Dolphins do. So I think you might hear in the next few days them cutting some players. I don't have any firm names, but you can guess. I mean, I would imagine if you're Albert Wilson, you might be wondering what your future might hold, particularly because you're out of football last year and you're coming off an injury after that or before that. So there will be players cut by the Dolphins. I think Van Noy was the biggest surprise. I don't know if anyone, because they're not going to cut Byron Jones. It's not going to make sense for them financially to do that. But I think what the Van Noy move tells us is, don't expect them to sit on their hands this year, and don't expect them just to trust the process, so to speak, and go through the draft and sign mid-level free agents. To me, it suggests that they understand that in year three they have to be better, and they're going to try to go for it.
And B's, to that point where, like, they, you know, obviously they didn't, I'll say, appreciate Vannoy's ability or his salary or something, you know, that he was, they didn't like, because they end up cutting him. And to the guys you're saying, some different guys like Albert Wilson not playing, the opt-out guys, maybe Alan Hearns, like, I understand that. On the other side, B's, like, you're saying this is a big year for Greer, for Flores, for the whole Dolphin organization. What guys have to be here, and especially in the skill positions? Because Devontae Preston, Gasecki, Shaheen, Smythe, you know, Grant, Bowden Jr., like, they're not dominant players in the NFL. Who needs to be here for success?
I think Gasecki is better than you might be giving him credit here. I think he's one of the best six or seven pass-catching tight ends in the league. And he really was the only guy that you could depend on regularly. Devontae Parker need to be here? No. I think he will be here because they're going to need a number two. They have to find a number one. Like, if you sign a free agent and we don't know who's going to be on the market, because we still don't know who's going to be tagged, but we've talked about this for months now. You know, Allen Robinson's the name. Kenny Galladay is a name. Chris Godwin's a name. There are names out there. The Dolphins, my guess, is going to sign one of those guys if they're available, and they're going to draft a guy high too. So if you put those two dudes with a Devontae Parker and a Mike Gesicki, and then maybe you go get Travis Etienne in the draft, or you know the kid Sermon from Ohio State, maybe somebody like that, and add a free agent as well, all of a sudden this offense looks a lot better. So need to be here? I mean, well, let me pose it to you this way. I think this is the better way to look at it. What players would you refuse to part with to trade for Deshaun Watson? And my answer is none. Even Xavier Howard I would include in a package to trade for Deshaun Watson. So that kind of speaks to where this roster is right now. They've got a bunch of B players, and I think this is a broader criticism of the job Chris Greer has done. They have assembled just enough talent to get the 10 wins. And you can do that with a bunch of B players if they're well coached, and you know they have one player that makes a bunch of plays. The Dolphins had two last year in Ryan Fitzpatrick and Xavier Howard. And you can get away with that, but you have a pretty hard ceiling. Like, it's hard to get past 10 wins when you don't have game-changing superstars. And so I think that's the broader challenge this offseason, is they have to get these game changers. They have to get these guys that score touchdowns, that take the ball away, that get after the quarterback, make big explosive plays, because it was – watching that offense last year, particularly when Tua was in, was plodding most of the time. And it was hard. You can't win the NFL if you don't have explosive plays. So, yeah, I think the broader issue is this, is that there's no one on this team that is indispensable, that like you just absolutely cannot part with if it's going to get you a Deshaun Watson. And I think that explains why they have so much work to do.
All right, you mentioned them. What is the situation with Deshaun Watson? Are they still adamant, Houston, that they are not trading him? Are the Dolphins banking on being in this, I don't know, raffle to get him? Like, what are they, like, do they have plans on what they're going to do in the draft and free agency, or is everything fluid because of Deshaun Watson?
I'm sure they have two plans. And plan A is the one that was the most likely outcome, that Tua Tagovailoa will be their starting quarterback, and they will build around that. Plan B will be if we get to – because I don't think – it doesn't sound like, unless Nick Caserio and the McNairs have a total change of heart, it doesn't sound like Deshaun Watson is going to be traded the next week. Like, not. Well, I used to think March 17th was the height of all the leverage the Texans had, and every day that passes after that, their leverage gets less and less. And certainly after the draft, it totally blows out their leverage, because nobody has those draft picks that they, you know, are so coveted anymore, because they've already used them on players. But I think you could see this stretch into mid to late April. But to me, I think the Dolphins are going to leave themselves an out if, you know, there's a change of heart. But right now, there's been zero indication that they're going to get Deshaun Watson. I mean, people think, you know, the Texans are bluffing or they'll come to their senses and all that, but you can't plan on that. And certainly for the Dolphins, you can't plan on that and then plan on winning a derby if there is for him, right? If there's a lottery for Deshaun Watson, you can't be guaranteed. You have a pretty good hand, obviously, but you're not guaranteed to get the guy. So my guess is they've had contingency plan after contingency plan after contingency plan. And if they need, say, it wouldn't surprise me at all if, like, they have X number of dollars of cap space planned if Tua is their guy, and then they'll have, like, you know, okay, so we can get Deshaun Watson. We need to create more space to get more guys and all that. They could do that then. They could restructure some of those deals then to free up space and free up assets and all that to go make this move. But there's no doubt in my mind that they've had extensive conversations in that building about what would have to happen. Certainly it would be a lot easier if the Texans, again, came to their senses right now and figured out that, you know, the dude's really serious about never playing for you again. And if you think he's just going to show up at training camp and not, you know, and this will all be over, it does not sound like that's the case. Everybody from his camp, everyone who knows him, is saying this is no bluff, that he wants out. So what are the Texans achieving by trying to slow play this? I know those guys are very rare. It's very hard to find a Deshaun Watson. I understand that. But at some point, they're going to need to face reality. and take what's going to be the best offer of a bunch of really good offers, because half the league is going to want the guy.
Adam Beasley covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Read his work in the Miami Herald. Download the Miami Herald app. Follow Beasley on Twitter. Did you watch Coming to America 2 this weekend?
I do not have a Prime subscription, but if you want to send me your username and password, I'll watch it tonight.
Oh, it's lucky for you. All guests on the Hockman and Crowder Show get an Amazon Prime subscription for a year, courtesy of our friends at the Channing Crowder household. So, Crowder, Crowder, sign him up there for Amazon.
He's lying, Bees. Don't let him get you, Bees.
Crowder, we made this deal with them a long time ago. It's time for you to pony up.
I ate ramen noodles for lunch today, if that tells you anything about my budget.
No, you're on Baller Wives. Lost all his money at the mall. All right, there you go.
Was it good? The movie, not his time in Minnesota. How was it good?
Oh, I thought you were asking how his time in Minnesota was. No, yeah. Coming to America, I gave it a 7 out of 10. Yeah. I enjoyed seeing all the characters again. I mean, you know, the plot was thin to non-existent, but who cares? you know, we sat down and then.
But that second part got to me.
Do you think it was largely just fan service? You have a fan service and a check cash.
I'm saying this, like, we sat down for 2 hours, my wife and I. We grinned the entire 2 hours, had a couple of laughs. And by the end, we were smiling ear to ear. I mean, what more could you ask for? A streaming movie.
Successful evening, then.
Yeah, it was fine. It was, you know, it wasn't earth shattering.
Fine.
It was fine.
You don't wait 30 years for fine. That was my problem.
But you couldn't do a sequel 30 years later and have it be anything but fine, I don't think. Because you just wanted to see the characters again. Like, that's it. You wanted to see the characters. You got to see all the characters. They were fun. I enjoyed it, Bees. I enjoyed it. I think it's worth an Amazon
subscription.
I look forward
to watching Channing's account later.
Yeah. Oh, he'll give you all the info that you need.
You got a better chance of me sending you ramen noodles than Amazon
I'll
Prime.
I'll take those, too. Those are delicious.
What do you have, the chicken flavor? What flavor do you have?
Anything free you want to send me. I'll just send it my way.
What flavor ramen?
Always shrimp. Mm-hmm. Always shrimp. Mm-hmm. The pink.
You're talking about the little 49-cent pack, 29-cent pack that you crunch up? You're talking about the real cheap ramen.
Yeah, I get through college, but I eat $8 a week.
Oh, my kid loves that ramen.
I didn't have that U.S. scholarship, okay? I didn't have that, you know, that meal plan that they had.
They were eating stone crab. This is no joke, Beasley. They had stone crab in the athlete cafeteria when Crowder went to Florida.
Yep, I believe that. Tax dollars at work, baby.
I'm telling you, I gave 40.
Tax dollars at work.
I gained 40 pounds in like 20 months, something crazy like that, just eating good.
I used to go to the cafeteria. I was so thrilled when the Captain Crunch container was filled to the top. This dude's eating stone crab. Unbelievable.
You know, I was happy to get out of the dorms, but my diet got a lot worse when I was done eating cafeteria food, because it's hard to feed yourself.
Oh, that cafeteria was so good. All right, Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. Thanks, Bees.
All right, guys.
There you go, Adam Beasley. We'll give you our official Coming to America reviews in the next segment. I don't think we've probably left anything to the imagination there, but we'll give you our official reviews here in a moment.
I want to thank all y'all for making Lubeck Road Coconut Creek Chevrolet number one. They're the best, and y'all helped us prove it. Lubeck Road Coconut Creek Chevrolet is the place. Just listen to this. Other car dealers take their family and friends because they can't hook themselves up. And they know it. They can't hook themselves up or their families up like Lubeck Road Coconut Creek Chevrolet hooks you up. Nobody has ever or will ever sell a Chevy for less than Lubeck Road Coconut Creek Chevrolet. So why would you overpay? Go down to Lubeck Road Coconut Creek. They have a great inventory of both new and used cars and trucks ready for pickup or delivery. You can go down to the shop. You can go down to the beautiful showroom. Go down and see the amazing sales staff, amazing service department, immaculate showroom, and the most important thing are those new Chevys that are so beautiful. Test drive, take you a nap in one. They're so comfortable. But if you're not comfortable with that, they'll also deliver it to your job, your house. They just want to get a beautiful Chevy in your driveway, and the price they show is the price you get. They're not going to throw extra money on there. If you shop online, they're not going to throw an extra 10 grand on there when you get down there or when they bring it to your house. They want to get that Chevy in your driveway like they have been blessing generation after generation of South Floridians with these beautiful Chevys since the 50s. That's right, the 50s, helping out generations of South Floridians at Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. And my kids, when they get of age, they're only 8, 9, and 8 months right now. But when they get old enough to drive, they are getting a beautiful Chevy from Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Find new roads.
All right, quick break and then more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hock and Crowder.
On this day in 2002, do you know what happened to the Miami Dolphins, Crowder?
2002? No.
Were you on the team in 02?
No. I didn't get there till 05.
05. This day in 2002, the Miami Dolphins trade for running back Ricky Williams.
Woo! That was a great day.
That was a great day. In exchange for Williams and their fourth-round pick in the 2002 NFL draft, who the Dolphins used on Randy McMichael, New Orleans acquired the Miami Dolphins' first-round pick in 2002, a fourth-round pick, and a first-round pick in the 2003 NFL draft. Ooh. So New Orleans got two first-rounders and a fourth-rounder. The Dolphins ended up with Ricky Williams and Randy McMichael.
I don't know who those first rounds were for New Orleans, but I was going to say, man, yeah, that was a heck of a trade. I know on the, you know, people want to talk about the back end of Ricky and the suspensions. They don't want to talk about how Ricky was toting the ball for 270 yards some games for the Dolphins and the only offensive threat on the entire team for a couple
yep.
of years.
The only offensive threat, literally the yeah. only he was the offense. He really was.
I told you what Big Vern told me. One of the linemen told him when he got drafted, Vernon Carey. He was, you know, Vernon came in all gung-ho. He's like, hey, man, you know, he got with one of the veteran linemen. Like, man, I want to learn, you know, I'm a first rounder. I think Vern went like 18, 16, something like that. And he was like, I want to learn the offense. I want to contribute this year. You know, he was, you know, he's a Miami guy, went to UM. They were like, you want the playbook? Ricky right, Ricky left, Ricky right. If we want to trick him, we'll go Ricky left twice. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he saw the offense and was like, oh, yeah, no, you weren't joking, huh? That's all we're doing giving to this man. Yeah. When you give up that much stuff for a guy, that's what you got to do, man.
You're going to make him the centerpiece.
And you know what they did?
What is your...
They made him retire because they gave him that
damn ball too much. They ran him off to Australia. Yeah. What is your official rating for Coming to America? You said you watched it twice this weekend?
Yeah, I watched it twice. I started watching it. What was that, Saturday night, but late, after the kids were to bed, it was like 11:30, and my wife ended up going to sleep. So then she woke up, you know, Sunday morning, and we watched it together again. I watched it twice. And it, you know what? You appreciated the nostalgia. I was upset with the nostalgia. Like, I thought there was not enough of the barbers. I thought the new characters, like you brought up Leslie Jones, and I think she's hilarious. I love, what is that, the supermarket sweep and all? Like, she's a funny human being.
Yeah, she was funny on Saturday Night Live. She's funny. I just thought her character was useless in this movie.
Just useless. I think they could have casted the son better. I don't want to give away too much. Like, I'll tell you this. I appreciated the nostalgic characters.
Yes.
I didn't think they casted the new characters correctly.
Well, here's like I I'm with you. You didn't feel any connection to Leslie Jones or the son, but it didn't matter because you weren't watching to see them anyway. And every time they were on screen, all I kept thinking to myself was, this is stealing time from the characters that I actually want to see in this movie. The only new character that I liked was Wesley Snipes. I thought he played a funny character. And I hadn't seen Wesley Snipes in forever, so it was nice to see him in a movie. But I just thought for the nostalgia aspect of it, like, I wanted to see all the characters again, got to see all the characters. I wanted them in funny situations, got to see them in funny situations. I wanted them to have recall and callbacks from the original movie. The entire movie is callbacks. The damn elephant that walks by No spoiler here, but the elephant, the little baby elephant that walks by Eddie Murphy and James Earl Jones when they're walking through the palace and he's going to America to sow his wild oats, and his little elephant Babar walks by. Babar returned. And the only reason that I noticed some of these things that maybe you didn't was we watched it the night before. And maybe that's what made the movie so much more enjoyable to me, is the new one, the old one, was fresh in my head. So I give it a 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it. It was not groundbreaking cinema. The story was non-existent. But the characters, they're, you know, just comfortable characters that you wanted to see again. I liked it. So Lana, you did not watch it. You enjoyed the first one?
I did. I watched the first one like you and your wife did. I watched the first one like 2 weeks ago in anticipation for Coming to America. The second one, I didn't watch it this weekend, though, but I will watch it soon.
All right. Okay. Well, there you go. Text in. What'd you think? 786-360-0790. What'd you think of Coming to America? Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Nat Moore. Dolphins legend Nat Moore is going to join us on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Anybody want seconds on Jell-O?
Hock and Crowder.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.